This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala asraf al-anbiya'i wal-mursaleen. Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqa wa arzuqna tiba'a. Wa arina al-batila batila wa arzuqna ijtinaba. علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما أخرجنا من ظلمات الوهم وأكرمنا بنور الفهم وأنعم علينا يا عظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. We continue our talk on a great man, a great khalifa, a great leader, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Umar, he is the one that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if there was a prophet after me, it would have been Umar. O Umar, wallahi, if you take a path, the shaitan will take another path. This is Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And we mentioned a lot of the virtues of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu last week. And a lot of the sayings and praises that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam praised Umar ibn al-Khattab. Umar was in the Khilafah for 10 years. During those 10 years, what the Islamic State went through never ever went through the time of any other Khalifa. At the time of Umar, the Islamic State went through changes. And the Islamic State became bigger and bigger and stronger and stronger. Because a great leader like Umar was a Khalifa. The light of Islam was spread among or to all around the Arabian Peninsula, up to after and beyond the Arabian Peninsula. At the time of Umar, two great empires were destroyed. The two greatest empires that existed back then, the Roman Empire and the Persian Empire. Radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the man behind it. Of course, it's because of his taqwa. Radiallahu ta'ala anhu, over all the things that we mentioned last week, there is a lot to speak about. And as much as we speak about Umar, it's not enough to describe a great man like Umar. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was the most fearing man to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, after the Prophet and Abu Bakr. A man that once he's reminded by the Quran, he pauses and stops. That Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu once asked one of the slaves of Umar, how do you find Umar? He said, we find him very good. But if he gets angry, musibah, big problem. If Umar gets angry, it's a big problem. So Bilal said, remind him about the Quran. Remind him about the fear of Allah. That's what I used to do. Umar stops. When someone tells him, oh Umar, fear Allah, he stops. Radiallahu ta'ala anhu was so aware and cautionate about the Muslims and the Muslim nation. The Umar used to judge himself and question himself, saying, the Ba Allah, I am worried to stand in front of Allah in the hereafter and be questioned about a goat that a path wasn't made easy for her. To that stage. Radiallahu ta'ala anhu will get around the houses in the middle of the night, checking up on the orphans, checking up on the widows, checking up on the left, the people that are left with no family. That's how he was. He was so cautionate into the money of the Muslims. Umar ibn Khattab was the first man to start Bayt al-Mal al-Muslimin. It's like a bank that keeps all the money of the Muslims. He's got an accountant and a keeper that looks after him. And he gives it out. All the goods and all the money that comes in, he gives it out in even share to the people. And radiallahu ta'ala anhu was so cautious about getting any benefit from behind him being a khalifa, that once his son Abdullah ibn Umar bought a camel. And then he took that camel to be heard to be left among the camels where he could eat and could live around the camels. And they used to pay people to look after him. After a while, the camel of the son of Umar ibn Khattab, Abdullah, became bigger and bigger and older. And then Abdullah ibn Umar, the son of Umar, took that camel to sell it in the market. And he, Umar, comes in the market, in the cattle's market, in the camel's market, and look and sees a very nice, healthy camel. So he asks about that camel, whose camel is it? So they tell him, this is the camel of your son, Abdullah. So he says, this is the camel of my son, Abdullah. Ya Abdullah, where are you? So he calls Abdullah. He tells him, Ya Abdullah, this is your camel? He said, yes. Where did you get the money from? He said, it's my own money. I took this camel when it was young, looked after it, became big, and now I'm selling it. He said, Oh Abdullah, you bought that camel and people sold you that camel because you are the son of the Khalifa. And then you let people to look after him, and they looked after him more than other camels because you are the son of the Khalifa. And now, this camel is here, and it's going to be sold because you are the son of the Khalifa. La wallah. Go and sell it, and take your money, and the rest of the money, put it back to Bayt al-Mal al-Muslimin. No benefit. I would not allow a benefit to come through your hand because you are my son. Radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Radiallahu ta'ala anhu was so firm, very harsh when it needs to be harsh and firm. Very hard when it needs to be hard. And very lenient when it's time to be lenient. And I mentioned the story about him last week, how the companions and the people at the time of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu were afraid of Umar, him being a khalifa. They start to say, at the time of the Prophet who was hard, and then at the time of Abu Bakr he became Muhara, and now he's on his own. Allahu Akbar, what is he going to do with us now? If at the time of Abu Bakr he was hard, and at the time of the Prophet he was hard, now he's on his own, this man is going to do, and it's going to be so hard on us. So radiallahu ta'ala anhu called upon the Muslims and he said that I was a drawn sword in the head of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his time. He uses me however he wants and he puts me on the side however he wants. And then I was the same at the time of Abu Bakr, I was a drawn sword. He uses me to cut and chop whoever he wants and he puts me on the side however he wants. And now this is becoming softer when it's time to become soft. And it becomes harder when it's time to become harder. So help me on myself to control it. Radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Once he heard about a man, his name, Al-Usaybih. Al-Usaybih was from Egypt after the opening of Egypt on the hands of Amr ibn As at the time of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. There was a man, his name, he's Al-Usaybih. Al-Usaybih, he became a Muslim. And he had his thoughts and his thinking. And Usaybih started to ask questions of the Mutashabiha, to start to ask questions of the metaphorical terms in the Quran al-Kareem. And he started to ask questions like, how do you believe that Isa ibn Maryam is going to come back and the Prophet is not going to come back? The Prophet is better than Isa. If Isa is going to come back to this world, then Muhammad is going to come back to this world. And he used to talk about the hand of Allah, and he used to talk about this, and he used to talk about that. So Amr ibn al-As didn't want to act upon it and do something that might come and harm the Muslims in Egypt. So he sent a letter to Umar al-Khattab consulting him. Oh Umar, what do you think I should do? So Umar al-Khattab sent him a letter. He said, once this letter reaches your hand, you make sure you send him to me with guards on him so he doesn't run away. So Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu,
He sent Al-Usaybin with guards. And when those guards arrived to Umar, they came to Umar and they told him, "Oh Umar, we are those ones, we are sent by Amr ibn al-As and we've got Usaybin." He said, "You have the Usaybin, make sure you keep him, wallahi. If you lose him, you're going to cop it. You're going to be in his position." So where is the Usaybin? He brings upon the Usaybin in front of the companions and he tells him, "Oh Usaybin, I heard you are asking questions about the hands of Allah and about the face of Allah and about Muhammad coming back and about this and about that." So he said, "Yes, I am asking about those questions." So he told him, "Would you like to know the answer?" He said, "Yes, I would like to know the answer." So Umar al-Khattab calls the whipper and tells him, "Come. Yalla, whip him." He whipped him, whipped him, whipped him, until the blood started to come. And then Umar ibn Khattab said, "Take him and get a doctor and give him medicine. After he finishes, bring him back." He went, after he was healed, he came back. He said, "You're asking about those questions?" He said, "Yeah." So he whipped him again and whipped him, whipped him, whipped him. The second time, until blood came out of his body, out of his skin. And then he told him, "Go and take him and give him medication. After he finished, bring him back." And after he finished, he brought him back. And then radiallahu ta'ala anhu whipped him the third time. And then the fourth time, after they gave him medication and it became better, the Usaybin said, "Please Umar, if you want to kill me, kill me. But I can't take this no longer." So he said, "You ever dare to ask those questions again?" He said, "Wallahi, I promise you that I would never ever ask those questions since I'm alive." So Umar al-Khattab said, "Then go back." "Where?" "Not to your home." He told him, "Go to the Kufa, where Iraq is. Egypt is towards the west. Iraq is towards the north. Go to Iraq. Wallahi, there is a minister. There is a leader that's under me. Wallahi, would not let anything go through him. I'll chop his neck." So he went. After Umar, at the time of Uthman, Ali, with the Khawarij, yani after the death of Ali ibn Abi Talib, later on, Usaybin is living in Iraq. And at the time of Ali, that's when the fitness started. And the Khawarij appeared. And the Khawarij love these issues, talking about Allah, talking about things that they shouldn't talk about. So they came to the Usaybin and told him, "Oh Usaybin, what do you say? You know, you talk, yani, you like these topics. You like those things. Talk, yani, what do you say? You get into it and give us your opinions and ideas." He said, "La wallahi, this someone had taught me a lesson. Wallahi, I feel it till this time in my back." Aba Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Radiallahu ta'ala anhu was so fair that Abu Huraira was the wali, was the leader, the minister on Bahrain. And Bahrain is north the Arabian Peninsula, and north Mecca and Medina. And Abu Huraira was the wali there that used to look after the matters of the Muslims. So the businessmen of Bahrain came to Umar ibn Khattab and told him, "Oh Umar, wallahi, we saw the same way that Abu Huraira and the rest of the ministers sell. And we buy the same things they buy. But why do they have extra money on us?" So Umar ibn Khattab clicked his mind. "Yeah, why?" "Of course, because he's the minister, he's the leader. People are going to respect him more than others." So Umar ibn Khattab assigned Bilal. He told him, "You go and take half of their wealth and you give it back to the Muslims. From all the ministers." That Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu went to every minister on every state under the Islamic State and took half of his wealth and gave it back to the Muslims. And whenever they get more, he takes half and gives it back to the Muslims. That Bilal was so picky and fussy and precise on the issue that he used to take one pair of shoes. He'll take one pair and leave the other pair. That when he came and took one pair of Abu Huraira, told him, "I might as well take two of them." He said, "La." Umar al-Khattab said, "Take half or leave half." And here I am, I'm taking half, I'm leaving half. Once radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that's how much he used to judge himself. Once radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was asked by a man to come to him in the middle when Umar al-Khattab was occupied. He came to him and told him, "Oh Umar, I've got an issue, I would like you to come and sort it out."
reconcile, give us a judgment. So Umar al-Khattab walked with him until he arrived to the man, and there Umar al-Khattab started to hit him. He told him, you see me occupied with the issues of Muslims, and you don't come to me during my time, during my free time. This isn't, I'm too busy with the Muslims here. That's not right. So the man felt sad and a broken heart. He got bashed by Umar al-Khattab because he asked him to come and judge between them. So he walked off. So Umar al-Khattab felt it. And then he called him. He said, take my stick and retaliate. I don't think I've done right. Then he said, I'll leave it to Allah. He said, would you forgive me? He said, yeah. So Umar al-Khattab went back to the mosque and he started to pray. And he's judging himself and hitting himself. Ya Umar, who gives you the right and authority to hit people? Ya Umar, who gives you the right and the authority to hit people? How are you going to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to rub the dust on his face in the night and say, I wish if the mother of Umar did not give birth to Umar, I wish if Umar wasn't born, how was Umar going to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He said, while he was making the dua, he said, oh, Umar, you were so low, and Allah Azza wa Jal put you so high. You were misguided, and Allah guided you. You were astray, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put you on the path. You were disgraced, and Allah honored you. Fi Allah, O Umar. Radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Once, he ordered Bilal and told him to call the people to the prayer. And it's not the time for the five prayers, they say as salatu jami'ah. So Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu called as-salatu jami'ah, or the mu'adhin. Allah alam if it was Bilal. If the mu'adhin, the call of the prayer, called as-salatu jami'ah, come and gather for the prayer. So everyone gathered in the mosque. So Umar ibn Khattab stood up and he said, oh people, wallahi I remember myself. One day, working for the people of Bani Makhzum in Mecca, I was working as a shepherd, looking after the sheep and cattle. And I was getting paid one handful of dates or one handful of sultanas. And then he said, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So the companions يعني, and the tabi'een were amazed. This guy called us all the way here just to tell us about something that he used to do. And he used to do when he was young in Mecca. So Abdul Rahman bin Auf, one of the companions of Umar. يعني, this is strange. You called us and you got us all here together. You made us think there's something big just to tell us about yourself. You used to be a shepherd and so on. What's the problem? What's the matter? What's the issue? Why did you do that? He said, wallahi, I remembered and I was looking at myself and whispering was whispered in my ear, that, O Umar, you are the Khalifa. There's no one higher than you. You are the Khalifa. There's no one is more powerful than you. You are the Khalifa. There's no one more authorized than you. So I wanted to teach myself and put myself where it belongs. So I gathered upon the people and said, I remember there used to be a shepherd. That's who I am. Radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Was also lenient in some things. Once a companion had a problem with his wife. He comes to the house of Umar ibn Khattab and knocks one knock on his house, and he hears a dispute with Umar ibn Khattab and his wife. And he hears the wife of Umar ibn Khattab screaming at him. So that companion said, hey, this is the Khalifa and Umar. And Umar, and you know who Umar is, he's copping it, like, and who am I? So he walks out. So Umar ibn Khattab heard that knock, and he came to open the door, and he saw that companion walking out. So he calls him, tells him, you knocked, what do you want? He said, wallahi, I came for a matter, but, khalas, something that came through my mind, I let it go. So Umar al-Khattab told me, said, oh, wallah, I'll be honest with you, I've got a problem with my wife, she's all the time being aggressive on me, and she's hard on me, and the way she speaks to me. And I came, I knocked on your door, and I heard the same problem, I said, if you are like this, then what about me? So Umar al-Khattab said, we follow the path of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. The best among you is the best among you to their families. And I am the best man to my family. She cooks for me. And she looks after my kids. And she cleans my house. And she takes care of me and takes care of my kids. I would have a bit of patience on her. So radiallahu ta'ala anhu was also lenient to that. Once, also his zuhud, like, he didn't have the love of the dunya. That once he walked into his house, and his wife was saying, "Oh, Umar, I was over the neighbor's house, and I saw a bit of sweets there. And I was wondering if he'd get us a bit of money to buy some sweets. And I feel like it, you know, I desire some sweets." So Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he told her, "Has all the Muslims ate that sweet?" So she said, "No." So Umar said, "Wallahi, it would never enter the house of Umar until all the Muslims ate that sweet." And radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Ali says, "Wallahi, I saw over 21 holes," and a narration 14 holes, another narration 17 holes. Anyway, there's over 10 to 12 to 13 to 21 holes on his cloth. And radiallahu ta'ala anhu wouldn't change it. So no one says, "Oh, Umar had extra on him." Once, a lot of material came to Medina, and radiallahu ta'ala anhu gave every companion one material. And then he stood up, and it was given a khutbah. And then he said, "Oh, people, listen and obey." So one of the people, one of the believers, stood up and said, "Wallahi, would never listen, never obey." So Umar Khattab said, "Why?" He said, "Because you gave every single one of us one garment, one cloth, one material, and here you are, you have two garments on you." So Umar ibn Khattab looked at his son Abdullah and told him, "Oh, Abdullah, tell them what I got my other garment." So Abdullah said, "Wallahi, my father wanted to stand on the minbar, and I only had one garment, so he asked the other one from me." That's his zuhud. He didn't have love to this dunya and chase the dunya. Radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Uthman bin Affan narrates that once he was out on the borders of Medina. They used to have some place where they could relax. And it was a boiling hot season. That radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was sitting in his shed, he saw a man walking with two camels. So he told one of his slaves, "Look at this man, he walks in the middle of the heat, it's so hot and boiling. And he's walking in the middle of the heat, go and call him, tell him to come and relax." So the slave went to see who he is, and he didn't recognize him because he was covering his face with the material, with the amama. So he came back to Uthman and he asked him, "Did you know the guy?" He said, "No, Allah, no." So he told him, "Look at him." So Uthman looked at him and said, "Wallah, he looks like Amir al-Mu'mineen, Umar." So Uthman, he said, I took my head out to call him from outside. Wallah, it was too hot for me. So I put my head inside and I called him from inside, told him, "Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, what are you doing in the middle of the heat, in the middle of the season, in the middle of the hotness?" So radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, "Wallahi, I remembered two camels that were given to us to be put in the Bayt al-Mal al-Muslimin, and I forgot about them, so I wanted to make sure they're in the right hands." Look at this. Look at these qualities, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. A quality of great men, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Once at his time, the Arabian Peninsula went through starvation. They went through starvation for 4 years. Not even one drop of rain. And the people and the Muslims that used to live around Medina start to move into Medina. And a lot of them start to camp outside Medina. And all of them are seeking help from Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Umar will give food to those refugees that are living around Medina. That the news went out that Umar is giving and giving and giving. That from 5,000 there became over 50,000 of them living around Medina. And radiallahu ta'ala anhu realized that the numbers are increasing and increasing and increasing. That one day he'll feed thousands, up to 20,000 of them. They'll eat in one sufra, one food. He keeps on giving, giving, giving. And radiallahu ta'ala anhu, year by year went past, and there's no rain. So he sent a letter to Amr ibn al-As. And Amr ibn al-As was the minister in Egypt. And he told him, "We are going through a situation of starvation, and we need some support from you guys in Egypt. You are wealthy, you are rich. Send us some of your support." So Amr ibn al-As said, he sent them a letter and told them, "Oh, the Amir al-Mu'mineen, by the time this letter reaches to you, inshallah, I'll have a caravan of camels. The beginning of it is where Medina is and the ending is in Egypt." And radiallahu ta'ala sent them thousands of camels with food. Within those 4 years, radiallahu ta'ala anhu promised that he would not eat any meat or any ghee or any butter, or any oil until all the Muslims ate. That his stomach used to make noises from starvation. And the companions are present. And when he used to make noises from the starvation, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he used to say to his stomach, make this noise, or you don't make this noise, wallahi, he would not taste only the bread and the oil until all the Muslims ate. That's how eager, that's how cautious he was towards the Muslims and looking after the Muslims. And then he prayed, they prayed Salat al-Istisqa. And after the prayed Salat al-Istisqa, which is the asking or seeking for the rain, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the rain down. Radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to respect the young and the old, and used to be hard on the young and the old, and used to love mostly the family of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and respect mostly the family of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. That once he invited Al-Husayn, the grandson of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, over. So the Husayn is coming towards Umar ibn Khattab. He met with the son of Umar ibn Khattab, Abdullah. So he told him, where did you come from? He said, I just came from Umar ibn Khattab and knocked on his doors. He asked, who is that? He said, Abdullah. He didn't let me in. So I told him, I want to come in. He said, no. So Al-Husayn said, that's the son of Umar ibn Khattab. He didn't let him in. That means he's not going to let me in. And Umar ibn Khattab is waiting. He's waiting, waiting. So he called upon the Husayn again and told him, come. So he came. He said, why didn't you come? He said, wallah, I was walking. I met with Abdullah, your son. And he said that he came over, he didn't let me in. So I said, if you're not going to let your son in, you're not going to let me in. He said, do you compare yourself with him? La wallahi, you are more beloved to me than my own children. You are the grandson of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. This is Umar. 10 years of his khilafah changes in the Arabian Peninsula. Changes in the world. 10 years in his khilafah, people used to fear Umar from far distance. People used to hear about Umar from far distance. But when they come and see him, they would not know, is that Umar? They think Umar is the leader of the Muslims. He's got so much money and he's got so much wealth. But Umar ibn Khattab was a man that was away from this dunya. That was a man that was away from this dunya and his heart is connected to Allah. Miracles happened to Umar ibn Khattab. Karamat happened to Umar ibn Khattab. One of them, that when Amr ibn al-As opened Egypt, when he conquered Egypt, the Egyptians back then, before Islam of course, they used to have a belief, they used to have a drought season once a year. And that drought season is because of the Nile River, and the Nile River is dry and it's no longer flowing. And their belief is that the Nile River would not flow until they sacrificed one of the daughters of the most respected people among the Egyptians with gold on him. So when Amr ibn As entered Egypt and saw that scene, just seen had, what's this scene? People sacrificing a female to throw in the Nile River so the Nile River starts to flow. So radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he sent a letter to Umar ibn Khattab. And especially it was that season with the Nile River no longer flowing. And Amr ibn al-As ordered people not to do this action. So what happened? The Nile River is not flowing. So the crops start to die. And a lot of the cattle start to die. And the living in Egypt start to be delayed. And poverty start to happen. So Amr ibn al-As was stuck. What do we do? So he sent a letter to Umar ibn Khattab. So Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu sent him a letter back. And he told him he throw that letter in the Nile River. And when Amr ibn al-As reached that letter, he opened it and he said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. From Umar ibn Khattab, the leader of the Muslims, to the Nile River. Oh Nile River, if you flow from your own, we don't need you. But if you flow from the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it's an order from Allah and a ton of the Khalifa of the Muslimin, the leader of Muslims, to flow. And when Amr ibn al-As threw that letter in the river, the river started to flow. It's like flooded. The narration says it flooded half of the borders around the Nile River. Radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He was a man that was very strong with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was very, very jealous towards his religion. He used to care so much about his religion. At the time of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a man whose interested in Islam, one of the leaders of the Arabs who's interested in Islam, came to ask some support from the Muslims. And of course we have an eighth or a portion from the eight people that Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned that deserve that zakat. One of them is Mu'allafatu Qulubam. Mu'allafatu Qulubam are people who are interested in Islam that by us giving them some of the money will win them and win some of their tribes or win some of the people behind them. So that man, his name is Muhsin. He comes to Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu and asks support from Abu Bakr. So Abu Bakr is sitting down and they were deciding to give him some money from the zakat. So Umar al-Khattab came and he heard that. And then he looked at him and said, why are you giving him money? He said, you know, mu'allafati qulubuhum. So he looked at him and said, there's no mu'allafati qulubuhum now. Now Allah Azza wa Jal had strengthened Islam. Before, we probably needed you. We needed your help. We used to be nice to you, say come. But now, we no longer need your help. You need us. There is no zakat. Fi Allah, don't give him anything. That's how jealous he was towards his religion, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. At his time, a great battle, and inshallah we'll talk about it next week, the battle of Qadisiyah took place. A great battle with the Muslims against the non-Muslims from the Persians. Of 100,000 Persians fought against 12,000 Muslims with the leadership of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Persia was a great empire back then. And Qadisiyah is a place in Iraq where the Muslims met with the Persians, and with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the victory was given to the Muslims through the wisdom of their leader Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas and his consultation to Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And inshallah we'll talk about the battle of Qadisiyah and how the opening of Persia happened next week. And inshallah the week after we'll talk how Allah Azza wa Jalla gave victory to the Muslims to open Sham through the Roman Empire, and how Allah Azza wa Jal spread Islam at the time of Umar ibn Khattab, and then after Umar was Uthman, and after Uthman, the fitan started to happen at the time of Ali, and inshallah that's something we'll talk about. Allahumma ja'alna min alladhin yastami'una al-qawla fayattabi'una ahsana. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulil Kareem. Allahumma hadina wa ahdibina wa ja'alna sababan liman ihtada. اهدي أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أصلح أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك يا ربنا قريب مجيب للدعوات اللهم اتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار نسألك من خير ما سألك منه محمد عبدك ونبيك صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه محمد عبدك ونبيك صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان عليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.